what a blessing that is. I'd ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. The thought of Isaiah 53 starts in chapter 52, verse number 13. So we'll read 52:13 all the way through 53, and we'll ask God to bless it. So Isaiah 52:13 is where we'll start, and the Bible says this: "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently; he shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations; the kings shall shut their mouths at him. That which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider." In 53, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." The Bible says in verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Somebody say amen. Verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence." Listen to this. "Neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Verse 12, "Therefore I will divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. One verse there and we'll pray. It all is going to tie together here. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The Bible says this: "2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him," who is that? "For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to preach the word and to preach the cross. Father, I thank you for our youth as they took time and they practiced and they practiced and they practiced. And I thank you for blessing them through the drama and through the singing. I pray you'd bless them, Lord. And I pray that we as a church, Lord, I pray we'd look to you tonight. Lord, I thank you for that cross. Thank you, Lord, that you died for me. And I pray everybody in this room, it would get personal in their life tonight about how Jesus died for them. Lord, I pray you'd help me share what you've shown me. And I pray you'd guard my throat and guard my thoughts. And everything I say be covered under that precious blood. For it's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I will start by saying this. Me and my dear wife has had a very eventful week. As far as she was very sick most of the week. Praise God, we're getting through it. And now I've got a little snot coming on, so y'all just bear with me. But I know this is what God would want, and I'm thankful for that. And the title is Cling to the Cross, and the way and the reason I shared that, named it that, is because when Holly was sick this week, when it got to the bad parts and it was rough for her all week, she had an old pocket cross sitting right here. And when things got bad and she was hurting, she grabbed a hold of that thing. And I don't know if it means nothing to anybody, but that means a lot to me. And I pray that when times get rough in your life, if I can give you anything, you grab a hold of the cross. Because the Bible tells me that's what matters. And that cross means the world to me. And I pray, and here's my prayer for you as you got a paper and it'll help you through the message. But that cross, I don't want you to give it to nobody. I want you to keep it for yourself. And I want you to hold on to that thing. And I want you to cherish that thing. And if you would, I'd like for you to carry it around. And when times get rough, I want you to grab that cross. Boy, I'm thankful. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at the cross. And I've been telling folks all week. I said, we're going to look at the fifth gospel. And they're like, what are you talking about? And a lot of people have called Isaiah 53 the fifth gospel because it portrays Jesus so vividly. And it portrays the cross of Calvary so in detail. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. The death that Jesus died on that cross is the only hope we have to be saved. The only hope we have to be saved. And here's what the definition of cling is. We sung it, I will cling to the old rugged cross. That word cling, and this is what I want you to grab. That word cling means to hold tightly or tenaciously. It's not just something I got in my hand. It's something I'm grabbing a hold of with all I've got. And if I can give you anything, you grab a hold of that cross with all you have. Tonight we're going to ask the question, it's on your sheet there, how do I cling to the cross? And there's a few things in our text tonight that we must remember. And we'll look at number one here tonight. If I'm going to cling to that cross, I've got to remember, number one, that Jesus took my suffering. Look what it says here in the passage. It tells us in verse 14 of chapter 52. Like I said, we'll start there and go into 53. It says, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Skip to verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Go to verse 7. Every one of these talk about the suffering. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Those verses we just looked at tell me that he took the suffering. And it wasn't just suffering, it was my suffering. And it was your suffering. And the Bible teaches me that that man named Jesus, when he came to earth, his plan from the beginning was to go to the cross and suffer for me and you. And this scripture tells me, and it tells me in these very vivid words of the suffering that he did for me. And I wrote down a few of those words. Marred, wounded, bruised, stripes, oppressed, afflicted. And I look at those words, and I don't think I'm going off a limb by saying this: Jesus suffered. And sometimes I believe we forget how bad it was. I shared that in Sunday school this morning. I feel like sometimes we just forget how bad it was for our Savior. And I want to look at tonight just how bad it was. Because if I realize how bad it was, maybe I can realize how good it is. And I thank God for that. And we're going to look right there in verse number 14 of chapter 52 and look at how bad the suffering was. And it tells me in verse 14 there, "As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." And I gave you another translation to make it a little more clearer. Here's what the NIV says. It's in your paper. "His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness." I'd say that makes it a little more clear. And I don't think I'm going off a limb to say he suffered when he died on that cross. And before he got on that cross, when he was scourged and when he was spit on and when he was abused, he suffered for you. And that verse tells me it got so bad that they couldn't even tell he was a man. It tells me in that verse that his appearance was marred more than any other man. I've seen things on the internet, and I'm sure you have too, of how when he was scourged, that you could see vital organs inside the body. That's how bad it got. And what happened was when they slapped him with that cat of nine tails, it stuck on his flesh, and then when they pulled off, it pulled the flesh off. That's suffering. And friend, he didn't do it because he was bad. He done it because I was bad. And he done it because you were bad. And he done it because the sin had to be paid for and somebody had to suffer. And he went and he suffered on that cross. It got so bad. And I gave you a verse right there and on your sheet. It got so bad during the crucifixion in John 19:5. Pilate brought Jesus out in front of everybody and he said these words, "Behold the man." He brought Jesus out so those people would have some kind of compassion on how he looked and on how bad it was and on how bad he was scourged and on how bad he suffered. He brought Jesus out in front of everybody and he basically said this, "Have pity on that man." Is that not enough? And you know what they said? "Crucify him. Crucify him." Friend, they wasn't talking to Jesus. They were talking to God in human flesh. And they said, "Crucify him. Crucify him." He suffered for you and he suffered for me. And if I'm ever going to cling to that cross and cling to what Jesus did for me on that cross, I've got to remember that he suffered for me. So that's what we look at in these verses. He took your suffering. Look what number two says right there on your sheet. Number one, he took my suffering. But number two, he is my substitute. A lot of Bible scholars call it vicariously. And that means in the place of another. But here's what I got. He took my suffering. And we'll go back to our scripture. And we'll look. It's in verse 4, it's in verse 5, it's in verse 6, it's in verse 8, and it's in verse 11. And we'll start right there in verse 4. It says, look how many times it says "our." "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Bottom of verse 6, at the end of that verse it says, "And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all." Down in verse 8, About middle ways, he said, "For he was cut off out of the land of living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken." Verse number 11. "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." And all those verses point to Jesus was my substitute. Instead of me going, he went. And I've heard that all my life. I've heard this: "He went in my place." Boy, I'm so thankful for that. But friend, here's what I figured out. Even if I were to win, it wouldn't have been enough. You know why? There's sin in my life. There's sin in your life. So even if I would have suffered, it would have been no good. So Jesus had to go. That perfect, spotless Lamb, where John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," he went in my place. He is my substitute. And this is what I wrote down right here. God's Son died in your place with your sin on his shoulders. Boy, I thank God for that. I thank God that I can cling to that cross. Number one, Bible tells me he took my suffering. It tells me he is my substitute. But look what it says on down here. Number three, he was silent. Look what it says right there in verse 7 of Isaiah 53. "He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." When Jesus died for us, he was a silent, suffering servant. The Bible tells me, and I gave you a few examples here on your sheet, about how in each gospel, the Bible tells me that when Jesus went to that cross, he was silent. I think three of them's when he's talking to Pilate, and I think Luke's talking about when he's in Herod. But every time you look at that, in each gospel, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every one of them say that Jesus was silent. Boy, he was silent. And I thought about that as I was studying this message. Why in the world was he silent? And friend, he was not silent for himself. And I've been thinking about that. You know why he was silent? He was silent for me and you. And the reason he was silent before me and you, because if Jesus would have canceled and spoke up and got rid of this crucifixion, we would have no forgiveness of sin. So he was silent. And it got to the point where in those Gospels, Pilate was questioning him. And it said he opened not his mouth, and Pilate marveled. And I think about Pilate for a minute. Pilate knew this man had no sin in his life. He says it. But he was marveled all the more that he opened not his mouth. And friend, he opened not his mouth for you and for me. And it goes back in Isaiah here, and it says in verse 7, "He opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." So Isaiah has given us a picture here of how Jesus didn't open his mouth, and he's talking about a sheep. And it says, as a sheep goes before the shearers, let me get this right here, "Brought as a lamb to slaughter and a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." Let me give you a little background on that. Sheep love to be sheared. It gets to a point on their body where it's uncomfortable. They got oils in their body. It makes that wool dirty, makes it stinky. And if you've seen a sheep, that wool makes the sheep very heavy. And so what happens is when the shepherd is ready to shear that sheep, He'd pull the shearers out, and those sheep would come running to get sheared. And when they got sheared, they had all the weight, they had all the dirt off of them. They felt brand new. The picture Isaiah's getting here is when those sheep went to be slaughtered, the shepherd got the shearers out. And he took those sheep, and they saw the shepherd's shearers in his hand, and they went with him to be slaughtered. And so maybe you get the picture here. Jesus went before the slaughter for me and you. And Isaiah said, just as that sheep goes without any hesitation, so Jesus went without any hesitation. He went to that cross, and the Bible tells me in those verses, he was silent. And I'll give you another scripture here. It's on your paper, 1 Peter 2, 21 through 23. It says, for here, even hereunto you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, listen to this, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges rightly. Number one, the Bible tells me he took my suffering. Number two, the Bible tells me that he's my substitute. And the Bible tells me he was silent when he went to the cross. And look, let's look at the last thing tonight. And if I can give you anything, this is where you need to grab hold of it, church. He suffered. He's silent. He's my substitute. And because of all that, he is my success. Woo, he is my success. Everybody in the world wants to be successful. That's in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl. You want to be successful. Nobody wants to be a failure. And friend, here's what I wrote down. The only way to be successful is to have Jesus Christ in your life. That's the only way. I don't care what you got. I don't care who you know. I don't care where you've been. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you are a failure. And you will spend eternity in hell because of that failure. And the Bible tells me that he paid the price. I need to accept it. Let me give you some verses here. Look at verse number 5 of that chapter, Isaiah 53. He is my success. And here's what I wrote down. His success makes me successful. Look what verse 5 says. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And I'll read that last verse in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'd say this, the only way you're successful is because Jesus was successful. He's my sacrifice. He's my substitute. He took my suffering and he was silent to make you successful. And if I can give you anything you need to leave here with, church, is if you've got Jesus, you are very successful. Because that's something that lasts for eternity. All this stuff you can be successful here with just does not last. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people that just worry about what's here. And church, I don't want to worry about what's here as much as I want to worry about what's up there. And the reason I get to go there and the reason this church, if you've been born again, gets to go there is because he is successful. And the Bible tells me in this scripture how he's successful. And I gave it right there on your sheet right there. He's succeeded in bringing you peace. with God. The Bible tells me in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I've got peace with God because He's successful. Number two, He succeeded in bringing me healing. Every person in this world needed to be healed when they were born. I love what that song said, they sung this morning. He said, the truth is I've been broken since my very first breath. And the truth is I've been wandering since my very first step. And that explains a sinner perfectly. And when Jesus comes into your life, you become a success. You are successful. He gives you peace. Number two, He gives you healing. It says in verse number 5, and with His stripes we are healed. And last but not least, He succeeded in bringing you righteousness. And friend, I know you know this, but I'm going to say it again. You can't be righteous on your own. And I can't be righteous on my own. The best I've got is filthy. It's of a filthy rag. The best I can bring to Jesus is not enough, but I've got to bring it for Him to accept it. And once I bring it to the cross, and once I cling to Jesus, He heals me. And He makes me successful. And I wrote down right here, and we're going to kind of close with a question. I want you to look at your sheet right there. Left you with a question. Are you successful? And friend, I'm not talking about this earth. I'm talking about in the grand scheme of heaven. Are you successful? And I wrote the question down, how do I know if I'm successful? And the answer is found in the old rugged cross. You are successful when you cling to the old rugged cross. Are you successful? And you say, how do I cling to that cross? What do I need to know going into this week of revival? Friend, all you got to know is the cross. Friend, if you get a hold of Jesus and you cling to Him, the Bible tells me He is faithful and He is just. And my question as we pray tonight is, are you clinging to the old rugged cross? Let's pray. Oh God, thank You for the opportunity we have in this time tonight to share Your word and to listen to what You have for us, Lord. And Lord, I thank You that You are our success. And my prayer tonight, Lord, as our youth come up, my prayer is if somebody in this room is unsuccessful, not on this side, but on the other side, my prayer is that they would become a success in the name of Jesus. Not by our righteousness, but what Christ did on the cross. And Lord, I pray if there be somebody in here backslidden that's not clinging like they ought to, Lord, I pray that change tonight. Lord, I pray they'd come to this altar and start clinging to the cross. Because Lord, if we're going to be successful, if we're going to have a successful revival, we've got to cling to the cross. And Lord, I pray You'd bless this night. I pray You'd bless this invitation. God, it is all in Your hands. Thank You for the cross. Thank You, Lord, that You're not there no more. Father, bless this time, and it's in Jesus' name. And all God's people say.